further. If you can put up my slide there, the title one, Bonnet, I'll appreciate it. And on this slide, you'll see, I don't know if you're going to, yeah, you see that door. And it's a door that I chose randomly. But as I was preparing this morning, what I noticed about this door, you know, sometimes we do stuff random, but God's never random. And I looked at this door, and I just felt that God is saying, because if you see the full picture of this door and the floor in front of it as well, there's a lot of neglect, and it's clear that there hasn't been people going in and out. And this door probably at some point received lots of people, was a place where people went to, I don't know, maybe for meals or just, you know, who knows what happens on the other side of the door. And I just felt that if I look at the door of my life, how shut is it? Do I still let others in? There's still traffic. Do I, you know, because we live in a place, in an era that's very consumer driven. How much am I giving out? And as we explore this topic, the power of presence is, you know, when the doors open, people can just walk in. But more than that, if you open the door of your heart to God and He comes in, He can just do so much more. So may the doors of our hearts not be neglected. May the doors of just church not look like that. May they be open, and those that feel that come in here will feel welcome. So I just want to echo what just firstly, as we were ministering, just, you know, you are really fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a really amazing person. Maybe you should just tap the one person next to you and say to them, "I'm awesome." Okay, now tell them how awesome they are. I mean, come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, it's awesome. 1 Corinthians 3:16, and I want to read the scripture, and I want you just to, because this is a slow scripture. This is one of those that you, it's one that we know, right? How many times have you read the scripture? Okay, but I want you to read it slow. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? I just want you to read it again. Just let that sink in. Just ponder what you are reading. The Amplified puts it a bit in a different way. If you want to go to that next slide, it says, "Do you not know and understand that you, the church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you permanently, collectively and individually?" Just think of that. Just ponder on that. So that scripture is going to be on there for a while, and I want you to just read that. Because the question I want to know is, what does it mean to you when you hear this? When you hear that you are the temple, that we are the temple. It's not just you individually, but we as a church steward the permanent dwelling of the Holy Spirit. And if I think about the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? So, the last couple of sermons that I've preached, I think God is really speaking to us as a church, speaking to us, wanting to encourage us, wanting to empower us and help us, can I say, grow up in a sense. But what does this scripture mean to you when you realize that you are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? And if you understand who the Holy Spirit is, then what does it mean if He dwells in you? The all-powerful, almighty Holy Spirit, the one that was sent to teach us concerning all things, the one that comes alongside us, the one that helps us, that teaches us, that reveals to us the very heart of God. If I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? That's my question. And I've been in the last couple of weeks and maybe a month or so, been trying to get my head around this as to what does it mean that the Holy Spirit lives inside this human body. That I am a new creation, that I carry the very presence of God within me. Because if that is what I carry, then what happens when I walk into a room? And if this is true, then why is it seemingly that Christians continually walk in a place from defense and fear? Why is it that we feel we have to defend the whole time because there's a devil? We look for demons are behind every little thing, and we become so aware of the things that the devil is doing that we're losing sight that we are carrying. We are a house, a dwelling place for the very presence of God. We talk about repentance. Maybe we should repent about the stuff that we're busy with, even spiritually. What does it mean to me and to you to realize and know that the Godhead lives here? To be able to call myself a Christian, a son or a daughter of God. Why are we on the defense? Why are we not advancing? Oh, but it's hard. Sure. Go live the life of Christ and then we talk about hard. Sure, we are facing challenges, but even the challenges makes us live on the defense. The reality of this world makes the Christians want to live from a place of defense. Why? When we house the very presence of God individually, but collectively too. So just think of this. So if this scripture is true, and we get together, you are a powerful person on your own, not because of you. Yes, you've got a great personality, you've got incredible character traits, and you know, most of us, and God is busy with us, but you are awesome, not because of you, but because of the one who formed you, made you, who sent His Son to die for you, and then sent the Holy Spirit to do what? To dwell inside of you. And then we get together. You carry within you the very power of God, the creativity of God, the majesty of God Almighty. You are no longer your own. You belong to Him. That is what you carry. That is what I carry. Why are we on the defense? Why are we fearful? Why do we shrink back? Why is it not swords and shields and helmets and stuff and it's war? Because we are the anointed of God. I ask this question because I need to, in the light of the scripture, if I am the temple in which he dwells, what changes? What changes the moment you walk into work? Or you visit that auntie that's really difficult? Or that uncle? Not that just aunties is difficult. We have some difficult uncles too, no? What does John 16:33 say to us? It says in the B part, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." See, if I'm carrying the permanent presence of God, then I should walk in this, right? Yeah. Romans 8:37 says, knowing all these things, considering, you know, trials and tribulations and all these things, and he lists a whole lot of stuff. And we can put our list next to that list. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us. The very fact that he loves you makes you more than a conqueror. Make you able to overcome the things of this world. Because your security and everything is rooted in the very fact that he loves you and me so much. And may we not lose sight of that. You know, when the trials come, when the battles come, when the world and everything looks like it's falling apart, may we not lose sight of the fact that he truly loves us. And the fact that he loves us makes me an overcomer. And then throw on top of that the fact that I carry the very presence of God. Then what happens then? Should we have pity parties then? No. Not that any of you do that. Certainly not me. I never have pity parties. Sometimes I just feel very sorry for myself. But it's not a pity party. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Come on, this is a declaration. Whom shall I fear? Oh no, you come on. The scripture says a lot more than your response. Huh? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Nobody. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. This is the one stronghold we don't want to break. There's some other stuff we want to break in your life that the devil wants to put some strongholds in your life. But this is a good one. He's the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So is there fear in your life? Then Psalm 27:1 is yours. Maybe you should say it in the face of whatever you are fearing. Say, "The Lord is my salvation, Poppy. Not scared of you." Just think of that. Someone that's not scared. He's not scared, right? So he doesn't cower back. He doesn't like... He's like... Wie is jy? Denk jy ek is bang vir jou? Ek is bang vir hom. Isaiah 41:13. "For I..." Listen to this. "The Lord your God hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you." You know when the devil gets louder, you should meditate on stuff like this. When your circumstances scream, you should remind yourself of who you actually are. You can read the Psalms. David wrote stuff like this often. That's almost like he's trying to tell himself, what are you thinking about, boyki? He is God. He's the one in which I place my trust and my hope. Why am you? Are you fearful? Why are you cast down? Rejoice. And then you put on top of that, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the permanent dwelling place in which the Spirit of God dwells. What changes? And as I've been thinking about this, and as I'm, you know, preparing to go to India, I'm like, so I am not on my mission, am I? I'm simply going with God on His mission. I'm availing this life to say, Father, and listen, I tell you, this is a costly yes. I'm leaving my wife, my kids behind. This is big. The longest we've been apart is 10 days. Now it's 12. After day 6, they wanted to send me home on the previous mission. I wanted to go. That was in Namibia. It was easy to come home. This time it's not that easy. Peter and Rochelle knows what this cost. Many of you that have done this knows what it costs to say yes. So if I carry, and listen, I'm speaking to as much to you as to myself as I'm speaking to you, because I think I need to encourage myself here too. And remind myself here too that Kobus, you are not just that everything that your past says you are. But I am the one whom God has chosen. And in whom He's placed His very Holy Spirit to fulfill His purposes. So, I think if we really realize that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it plays out, then when, if you go to that next slide, if you walk into a room, demons should flee. Huh? Kobus, really? Of course, because don't tell me demons and God can be in the same place. There's simply no contest here. But do you and I understand that that's what we carry? Maybe you are sitting here and you're thinking, if a demon manifests, here, help me. Where's the exit doors? No, but that's exactly what the devil does to us, doesn't he? He makes small the fact that you carry the presence of God. He doesn't want you to move in that confidence. Because you know what? Because if you really understand that, and we walk into a room, and demons have to leave, what happens? People are set free. That is the anointing that you and I carry. It's not just for the pastor and the elders. We, you, us individually, and we collectively carry this anointing. So walk into a room aware of who you are. Or rather, who lives inside of you. When you walk into a room, sickness starts to lose its hold. And we're going to pray for some sick people this morning as we close. Because we carry the very presence of God. When we walk into a room, we shift the atmosphere. Or rather, the one who lives in me shifts the atmosphere. It changes everything. Heaven invades wherever we set our foot. Joshua, God gave him that scripture. Wherever you go, wherever the sole of your foot tread, I will give that to you. Now that's the anointing that is upon your and my life. That is the presence of God. There is nothing that we cannot conquer when we are about God's business.
Amen.
Yes, will there be persecution? Will there be tough times? I guess so. In very nice English, suck it up. If that offends you, I'm sorry. But we need to be about our Father's business, and it's not going to be easy all the time. Can we get to reality here? We live in a fallen world. We are saved. But the world doesn't like us. Jesus said this. No servant can be greater than his master. If they killed him, why are we surprised if we got persecuted? In actual fact, that should fuel our courage. Because if I carry the presence of God within me, the devil's not going to like it. Newsflash. Spiritual dynamics change. And hell loses influence the moment you step into the scene. Some of you want to leave businesses and companies because it's tough. Maybe it's because you're going in there as you. A question I often ask people if I want to change companies is God done with the people there that he sent you to? Because you are there not for because of you. Oops. Maybe I spoiled your fun now. You see, we are not just on God's mission when we are about church business. We are on God's mission when we go to work. When we walk the streets. Everywhere that we are. Because I don't just carry his presence on a Sunday. This is the potential of every believer. This is what I think we should fuel in one another. This is what we should stir in one another. This is what we should encourage one another in. Pray for one another. Prophesy one another. Stir the Holy Spirit in one another. So next time someone comes to moan, you say, "This is get back. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit see in your circumstances? What does he want to do? What hinders this from happening in our lives?" Well, I think the first thing that I want to say on that is that every true believer has the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't have every believer. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't have every believer. Because in order for him to do what he wants in my life, I need to yield to him. I need to hear him. I need to be sensitive to him. I must not quench what he wants to do in my life. I must allow him to have me, to use me, to take me where he wants to do, what he wants to do. So not every believer is surrendered to the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. That is a sad day. We get so busy with our stuff that we don't surrender in our stuff to the Holy Spirit. And I want you to try this. Go test it. Say, "Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in my workplace? Holy Spirit, I've got a hectic deadline. What do you want me to do?" Now, Nicole?
Yeah.
Speak to the auditors, Lord. Let them sign the stuff now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This is gets hindered in our lives when we allow compromise in our walk. We spoke about the carnal versus the spiritual man, in that we are bouncing between the two. That's compromise. That's 2 weeks ago. Compromise in a life of a Christian will make him passive. Or what about spiritual neglect? Not praying, not studying the Word, not being in the Word, not positioning yourself in a place where you are stretched to grow. You are very happy in your little poiki. Please don't change the compost, Lord. It's going to be uncomfortable. I've got my roots everywhere. It's nice. I'm just happy. I'm this tall, but I'm happy. And God is saying, but you're supposed to be a tree. Can I put you in a bigger pot? Oh no, Lord. Just nice. Just some water, Father. And there's a bug. Can you just, you know? What about disobedience? Which is none of us. You know when the Holy Spirit says to you, just ask him how he is. Ooh. No, but he's mislik, Jere. But just ask him how he is. No. Then I have to have a conversation with him. And he's mislik, Jere. He goes, but I'm using a stupid example, but there's many places where I'm carrying this presence and the Holy Spirit wants to encounter people and I pull back in disobedience to his unctioning. And then we don't talk about unforgiveness and those things that hinders us from walking in this way. This is the potential in which we walk in. We started this the service off with repentance. And Peter even beforehand shared with me how God is just really just saying to us that it starts with repentance. If I am neglecting the very presence of God, repent and change your ways. Everything that God has for us is in the Holy Spirit. That is why he's here, is to fulfill the purposes of God. So I need to steward it. I need to make sure that everything is ready for the Holy Spirit just to move in my life. When a life is surrendered to the Holy Spirit, power will begin to flow through you. Everything around us will change. People will become refreshed. People will be drawn to God because we carry his very presence. And when we live that way, God receives all the glory. Demons has no answer for a life that is full of the presence of the Holy Spirit. They have no answer for that. So if you are battling, spend time with the Holy Spirit. They have no answer for a life that is completely surrendered to God. Or to a life that repents quickly if there is sin. Or to a life that carries the very truth of God that sets people free. That sets me free. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom.
Huh?
Freedom.
Freedom. So guess what you are carrying? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Yeah. So when I walk in, oh, come on. You know, the devil doesn't like this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You carry that freedom, that anointing. It's not about you. Just tap someone maybe. Just remind them. It's not about you. You are simply a vessel. You are a jug. You are a carrier of the presence of God. Let him pour you out wherever he wants. So God saved you. He called you. And he filled you so that his kingdom can come. His will can be done. As much as he loves you and me, so much does he love the world still. And saints, I believe if we as the church start walking in this way, we will see some doors being opened. People being set free. There's a in Psalm 24 verse 7 and 8 it says this, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory might come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. I want to tell you, when we were at Convergence, the scripture came up through a song that we were singing, and as we were singing it, I heard the Spirit of the Lord says that there's doors that were shut in the past for Him to come in, that doors that shut for His presence to come in, but He's anointing us, He's giving us those keys to walk and unlock those doors. So that the King of glory can come in. So that people and places will be filled again with the presence of God. You know, there's neighborhoods and stuff that were shut up for the King of glory to come in because of practices and stuff that has happened. You've got the keys. If only you would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying towards that, you can unlock it. Who? Because greater is He that is dwelling in you than he that is in the world. The devil is not the victorious one here. We are. He is. And He dwells within us. And no longer should we shrink back. No longer should we be scared. But we should walk by the Spirit of God and unlock these things. Allow the King of glory to... I mean, it's interesting. It says He's mighty in battle. Man, come on. If it's a battle, it's His. Just go. Be poured out. My one prayer this morning is, and even as I'm on this journey, is to know and understand that I carry the very presence of the Holy Spirit within me. Again, just think about that. What does it mean that you house God Almighty, the Holy Spirit? Doesn't that change things? Doesn't that change me? I carry a freedom in God that I can just disperse everywhere. I'm like a fragrance. Psst, psst. I walk in, God goes, psst, ah. I disperse the glory of God when I walk into a place. Things change because you are there and because you carry the presence of God. Let's stand. I want to say to you that this is the life of a believer. This is the life of a child of God. A victorious, powerful, demon-fleeing life. Because you carry the presence of God in your life. It's time to take your issues and your stuff. Take off those jackets. Hang them somewhere else. And be clothed with the presence of God. That garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's your garment. You get rid of that heaviness, that weightiness, that the distractions that is causing you to want to shrink back. Because you carry the very presence of God. So we want to say, like Paul says, I want to become less so that he can become more. There's just one problem with that statement. It's the I. Because I want to always be more. But may that not be the case today. May I become less. And he become more. The power of the presence of God that rests upon you is way more than you can even imagine at this moment. I dare you to step out in faith. I dare you in the name of Jesus to risk for God. Some of you don't want to speak because you might get fired. Maybe you should hear what God wants to do. Because if God wants you in that company, I maintain no one can fire you. Until He's done with you there. And even if they do fire you, will he not make a way? Oh, nou is ek in die moeilikheid. Just be wise, okay? Don't. I'm not saying just be foolish and go as you're walking there on Monday. This is not you. This is allowing God to pour you out into the lives that he wants to pour. He knows who the man of peace is. He knows who the one is that's ready to receive. Don't go all out and just go boss now. Be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through your life.